92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. As you have heard many times, there are rumors of wars and saber rattling in Ukraine, Russia, great powers, first land war possibility really since World War II in Europe. We also have recognition by our county commissioner, Doug Underhill, who was in the military for a long time and recently retired last week, mentioning that, you know, hey, keep in mind that this is not just a news story. This is a life story for our local men and women in the military and their families. I thought it would be a good idea to check in with retired Rear Admiral Kyle Kozad, the two-star who headed up NETS, the Naval Education Training Command, previously and is now staying here locally. He is the executive director of the Naval Aviation History Museum Foundation. Joining us now by phone, Admiral Kozad. Sir, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning, Andrew. Always a pleasure.
Hey, I really appreciate you being available on short notice. I definitely appreciate the time. I just wanted to kind of ask the question, you know, I don't have any close family members who are in the military, and for people who don't, we might not really understand the significance of hearing all these news stories to our members of the military. What does this mean? You know, you're very closely connected to this community. Obviously, you lived your whole life in it. What does a story like this mean to us here in Pensacola?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And you know, I certainly appreciate Doug Underhill's, you know, focus on families. And, you know, this is, just isn't about a story on the news at night. When I was in squadron command back in 2003, I took my squadron, you know, over to Bahrain. And, you know, we flew in the Iraq war during the initial days. And you know, it's the things that you don't necessarily think about, the impacts on the families, the servicemen and women. And I'll say as a father of a young lieutenant who's in the United States Navy right now flying, a lot of different emotions that folks go through. You know, first and foremost for the families, it's hard enough to leave a loved one and know that they're going away to do our nation's business forward in times of peace. But the uncertainty, the tension and the anxiety that, you know, that they come with the reality of, hey, things aren't going well over there. There's a lot of tension. There's a lot of saber rattling. You know, that really takes a toll on the families. So they're the folks who are staying behind, the moms and dads who have children, who are being single parents for, you know, 6 to 9 months. And then that added burden of the uncertainty of what's my loved one doing today. It's really difficult for the families.
You know,
For the servicemen and women, I mean, you know, this is what we train for. We always hope for peaceful outcomes, but at the end of the day, we sign our piece of paper and we raise our right hands to protect and defend the Constitution. And, you know, we know that there's an inevitability that someday we might have to, you know, actually, you know, engage in conflict to be able to, you know, protect the ideals that we hold so closely.
You know, you mentioned a couple of times in your initial comment, and I kind of wanted to follow up on that, the uncertainty. You know, there are so many things in life where knowing what you're about to do is often easier to deal with, even if it's an awful thing, than not knowing what's about to happen. Uncertainty can be more difficult to deal with psychologically than even the certainty of a bad thing. And you got me thinking about how you said that we train, right? You know, the military trains for these kinds of contingencies. But we don't train the families, you know, we don't train the kids, right? You know, the members of the military, they sign up for a thing, they get training for the thing, they're preparing for the thing, this is what they're there for. But all the people who are closely connected, you know, we don't send them through boot camp to be prepared for what happens if your loved ones get deployed, right?
No, you're right. And, you know, it's even more complicating today when, you know, we're used to on-demand communication. So, you know, regardless of where in the world I am, I can pick up the phone and make a phone call or do a FaceTime. And, you know, the inevitability is a lot of those communications may not exist during a time of conflict if that happens. I mean, that's quite routine to be the first thing that gets, you know, shut off if something happens on a significant international level. So it is difficult. But, you know, I'll say that that's why we've got great leaders in our Navy and our Department of Defense, because, you know, they will be doing their best. They have done their best to prepare the families as well as they can. And just, you know, being clear, transparent, you know, ensuring that the families are confident with the training that they've been doing, and understand, making it clear to the families that they understand that, hey, you're not going to be able to FaceTime every day. There's a potential of this, that, or the other. But, you know, as a leader, know that, you know, I feel confident and I will lead from the front as I take folks into conflict if and should that occur.
You know, I, again, on anything that I say, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I expect that for people who have enlisted, there's that first time that you get deployed and not knowing for sure how you're going to react or how it's going to affect you. And then there's that first time you go into combat and not knowing for sure how you're going to react or how it's going to affect you. I imagine the same thing is true for the, you know, spouses and kids of people who have joined the military and they haven't gone through this before. They might be feeling depression. They might be feeling anger. They might be feeling frustration. And they might also feel like, I don't know if I'm supposed to even share any of this stuff with anybody because maybe I'm, you know, hurting my spouse by telling them that this is scaring me. That first time through, even the possibility of something like this can be very challenging, right?
It is. And the good news, Andrew, is, you know, we've got resources that are out there. So, you know, just in aviation, and I know that in every Navy unit, you know, we have ombudsmen that volunteer, go through specific training, and really they're your resources at home. That are a friendly face that you can pick up the phone, you can call. They do frequent gatherings. And there are other resources that we have, you know, here on base NAS Pensacola and, quite frankly, every other Navy and military installation across the country. So, you know, there may be a sense that the families are alone and they've been left behind, but quite frankly, there's a lot of great resources for them to lean on to ask those questions, whether it's, you know, a first time or a sixth time, because I can tell you, when I deployed as a squadron commanding officer, that was probably my seventh deployment, and it just doesn't get easier for somebody like my wife, Amy.
Admiral, you know, the military in the last year or two has had a lot of things happen with the transition from, you know, the president, with the withdrawal from Afghanistan, the saber rattling that we're certainly seeing in the South China Sea with regards to everything China is doing, and now on the precipice of possible war with Ukraine and Russia. I think a lot of people in the country just, they kind of have this unsettled uncertainty even about the sort of rightness of our decision-making. As a member of the military, you sign up to do whatever the president orders you to do. How do you deal with that kind of maybe disagreement or lack of confidence, if that exists, in what's happening, even as you're supposed to deploy at his order?
Yeah, it's a great question, and you know, we do such a good job. You know, one of the biggest pleasures and, you know, proudest moments for me was being able to go up to Great Lakes, Illinois, and speak to a graduating class at our boot camp. And, you know, whether it's, you know, brand new sailors that are here on board NAS Pensacola, or, you know, Friday afternoons celebrating the first time they get to wear the flight suits as ensigns or second lieutenants, you know, all these young men and women sign up acknowledging, hey, I'm part of something bigger than myself or me. I may not always have the understanding. I may not have the political background that somebody in the White House has, but I'm in this for my country and for what we believe in as a nation. And I think, you know, that really is the thing that certainly I always relied upon as I was talking to my troops, as I was talking to a squadron, a wing, or a group, just to be able to, you know, provide the we are here and this is our mission, and this is bigger than any of us put together. Now, it's interesting, having served at the White House as the director of the Situation Room, you know, I can tell you that, you know, the negotiations are tense and they go on. And, you know, I've had an opportunity to, you know, be a fly in the wall in those rooms. And, you know, regardless of political motivation or anything else, you know, there is some comfort in knowing that, you know, folks will look toward resolving this with some sort of peaceful outcome, regardless of what that means for folks. Because at the end of the day, you know, we have folks that are prepared to do their job to protect and defend our country, but we also prefer to, you know, do so in a peaceful manner.
Last question for you, Admiral Kozad. Just about 30 seconds left, but what can I do? You know, I'm a civilian. I talk on the radio, or I'm just an ordinary person in the community. What can I do to help or make life easier for our military men and women who are kind of going through these preparations right now?
Yeah, I'll go back to what the Commissioner Underhill talked about. And really, this is about support, because in a community like Pensacola, and we may not have folks who are, you know, deployed to the Mediterranean right now, but you probably know some. You know, they may not be a neighbor, but you know them. My son was part of the strike group that's deployed over there right now before he was PCS'd here to Pensacola. And, you know, we're we're providing care packages. We're providing support from back home with letters and prayers and just keeping them in the forefront. And remember that there are people, you know, who may be struggling. They may not be in Pensacola, but, you know, be able to provide whatever family support or friendly support that you can, just taking care of our troops and keeping them in our prayers and in our forefront of our thoughts.
Absolutely. Retired Rear Admiral Kyle Kozad, a former commanding officer at the Naval Education Training Command, now with the National Aviation Museum Foundation. Admiral, thanks for the time. Thanks for your service, your family's service, and for helping us get a little bit better perspective on what our military friends and neighbors are going through right now. I appreciate it, sir.
Well, and thanks for highlighting this today, Andrew. Appreciate you.